भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 2 The Cosmic Manifestation, Chapter 2, The Lord in the Heart, Text 6. Evam svachite svata eva siddha Atma priyartho bhagavan anantaha Tam nirvrito niyatartho bhajeta Samsara hetu paramascha yatra Evam svachitte svata eva siddha Atma priyartho bhagavan anantaha Tam nirvrito niyatartho bhajeta Samsara hetu paramascha yatra Evam svachitte svata eva siddha Atma priyartho bhagavan anantaha Tam nirvrito niyatartho bhajeta Samsara hetu paramascha yatra Evam svachitte svata eva siddha Atma priyartho bhagavan ananta Tam nirvrito niyatartho bhajeta Samsara hetu paramascha yatra Tam nirvrito niyatartho bhajeta Samsara hetu paramascha yatra Mataji, please. Evam svachite svata eva siddha Atma priyartho bhagavan ananta Tam nirvrito niyatartho bhajeta Samsara hetu paramascha yatra Evam svachite svata eva siddha Atma priyartho bhagavan ananta Tam nirvrito niyatartho bhajeta Samsara hetu paramascha yatra Word to word, please repeat. Evam, thus, svachite, in one's own heart, swataha, by his omnipotency, eva, certainly, siddha, fully represented, Atma, the super soul. Priyaha, very dear. Arthaha, substance. Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead. Anantaha, eternal, the eternal unlimited. Tam, unto him. Nirvrita, being detached from the world. Niyata, permanent. Arthaha, the supreme gain. Bhajeta, one must worship. Samsara hetu, the cause of the conditional state of existence. Uparamaha, cessation. Cha, certainly. Yatra, in which. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Thus being fixed, one must render service unto the super soul situated in one's own heart by His omnipotency. Because He is the almighty personality of Godhead, eternal and unlimited, He is the ultimate goal of life. And by worshipping Him, one can end the cause of the conditioned state of existence. Purport. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:61, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the all-pervading, omnipresent Supersoul. Therefore, one who is a yogi can worship only Him, because He is the substance and not illusion. Every living creature is engaging in the service of something else. A living being's constitutional position is to render service. But in the atmosphere of Maya or illusion, or the conditional state of existence, the conditioned soul seeks the service of illusion. A conditioned soul works in the service of his temporary body, bodily relatives like the wife and children, and the necessary paraphernalia for maintaining the body and bodily relations, such as the house, land, wealth, society, and country. But he does not know that all such renderings of service are totally illusory. As we have discussed many times before, this material world is itself an illusion, like a mirage in the desert. In the desert, there is an illusion of water, and the foolish animals become entrapped by such an illusion and run after water in the desert, although there is no water at all. But because there is no water in the desert, one does not conclude that there is no water at all. The intelligent person knows well that there is certainly water, water in the seas and oceans, but such vast reservoirs of water are far, far away from the desert. One should therefore search for water in the vicinity of seas and oceans and not in the desert. Every one of us is searching after real happiness in life, namely eternal life, eternal or unlimited knowledge, and unending blissful life. But foolish people who have no knowledge of the substance search after the reality of life in the illusion. This material body does not endure eternally, and everything in relation with this temporary body, such as the wife, children, society, and country, also changes along with the change of body. This is called samsara, or repetition of birth, death, old age, and disease. We would like to find a solution for all these problems of life, but we do not know the way. Herein it is suggested that anyone who wants to make an end to these miseries of life, namely repetition of birth, death, disease, and old age, must take to this process of worshipping the Supreme Lord, and not others, as it is also ultimately suggested in the Bhagavad Gita 18:65. If we at all want to end the course of our conditioned life, we must take to the worship of Lord Sri Krishna, who is present in everyone's heart by his natural affection for all living beings who are actually the parts and parcels of the Lord. Bhagavad Gita 18:61. The baby in the lap of his mother is naturally attached to the mother, and the mother is attached to the child. But when the child grows up and becomes overwhelmed by circumstances, he gradually becomes detached from the mother. Although the mother always expects some sort of service from the grown-up child and is equally affectionate toward her child, even though the child is forgetful. Similarly, because we are all part and parcel of the Lord is always affectionate to us, and He always tries to get us home, back to Godhead. But we, the conditioned souls, do not care for Him and run instead after the illusory bodily connections. We must therefore extricate ourselves from an illusory connections of the world and seek reunion with the Lord, trying to render service unto Him, because He is the ultimate truth. Actually, we are hankering after Him as the child seeks the mother. And to search out the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we need not go anywhere else, because the Lord is within our hearts. This does not suggest, however, that we should not go to the places of worship, namely the temples, churches, and mosques. Such holy places of worship are also occupied by the Lord, because the Lord is omnipresent. For the common man, these holy places are centers of learning about the science of God. When the temples are devoid of activities, the people in general become uninterested in such places, and consequently the mass of people gradually become godless, and a godless civilization is the result. Such a hellish civilization artificially increases the conditions of life, and existence becomes intolerable for everyone. The foolish leaders of a godless civilization try to devise various plans to bring about peace and prosperity in the godless world under a patent trademark of materialism. And because such attempts are illusory only, the people elect incompetent, blind leaders, one after another, who are incapable of offering solutions. If we want at all to end this anomaly of a godless civilization, we must follow the principles of revealed scriptures like the Srimad Bhagavatam, and follow the instruction of a person like Sri Sukadeva Goswami, who has no attraction for material gain. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Sulakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to speak here. in this August assembly. So chapter 1, we discussed the Vishwarup, which is like gives a start to people on the journey of self-realization, understanding God or the Supreme Person, Divine Being, the source of everything. And in chapter 2 is the next stage, which is like meditating on the Lord in the heart, or we can say Paramatma. So that's the next level up. But in this text, Sukadeva Goswami is specifically mentioning about rendering service, offering service to the Lord in the heart. And he's offering this as a solution to our conditioned existence, which limits us in so many ways. And everyone wants complete freedom. So there is like a contradiction here. We want to be totally free. We want to experience complete happiness. We want to know everything. But at present moment, that's not the case. And so there is a conflict here within our existence and our natural state of existence. Because by nature, the spirit soul is complete in knowledge and blissful, and it's eternal. So Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 15, which is very relevant to this chapter 2. It's called the Purushottam Yoga. And there he mentions that Sarvasya chaham hridi sanivishta matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. So the Lord is situated in the heart of every living entity, and by him comes the remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. So it seems like that in our conditioned state we forget our original natural state to be completely free, blissful and complete in knowledge, and as a result of that engaging in service to the Lord who is always there with us. And but in material existence we are not doing that, and because of that it results in our present condition of nations, ignorance, because we have become ignorant of our natural state, of our state of complete freedom. So here Sukadeva Goswami, he suggests, he's recommending that one must render service. And what's the result of that? The result is that by offering this service, worshipping the Lord, one can end the cause of the conditioned state of existence. So it's described that a person who identifies his body as the self, in Srimad Bhagavatam it's described, and the land of their birth as worshipable. These kind of people, they are described as similar to like cows and asses. Yashatma buddhi kunapetra dhatuke. So one who considers, who thinks like this, and who thinks that, you know, the family they are part of, that's their eternal family. So when we are entrapped in that kind of consciousness, that's pretty much living the life like the animals live, because even animals, they have affection for their offsprings. So what makes the human form so special, different from the animals? In 11th canto, in a conversation with Uddhava, Lord Krishna, he actually specifically mentions that human form is very dear to me because in human form one has higher intelligence. One can cultivate this knowledge of self-realization and one can come back to their original state of consciousness, spiritual consciousness, where one can live in complete harmony with other living entities and with the Lord. Now we can see there are like so many wars happening and so many other conflicts between different nations, between different, even different spiritual groups. So there is so much chaos in society, and you know, people who are a little bit intelligent, they wonder, you know, what could be the solution. So similarly, the self-realized people like Sukadev Goswami, they offer solutions for these kind of chaotic situations. And the solution, the easiest or most easy to practice solution is rendering service to the Lord. So there is a beautiful verse in which one of the Navyogendras called Kavi, he speaks to King Nimi. And there he is describing how devotional service, one who takes to devotional service, three things happen simultaneously. And he gives an example of someone eating food, someone who is very hungry, and they are eating food. So with every bite, there is nourishment, and there is eradication of hunger, and there is direct experience, there is satisfaction. So in the same way, one who renders devotional service to the Lord, to Lord Krishna, tushti pushti shuddha apayo nughasham, so they experience all these things simultaneously. Pareshanu bhavo, bhaktir pareshanu bhavo viraktir anyatra chesha trika ekakala. So one who renders service, they experience these three things simultaneously. Tushti is compared to, tushti means satisfaction. So it's compared to rendering devotional service. When you render devotional service, you experience very deep satisfaction, inner satisfaction. Pushti means nourishment. So when one experiences nourishment, when you can actually directly perceive the Lord, para isha anubhav, direct experience of Lord. People don't want to follow religion because they want to experience. So that's what here Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about, how to experience God, Krishna, at every moment, in every activity one does, all the time. So para isha anubhav, that's compared to nourishment. Because when you experience the Lord, you will feel nourished, you will feel inspired, you will have a natural inspiration. And what would you like to do when you are inspired? You would offer service. So, and when you offer service, what would happen? Should anugasham, means the eradication of hunger will happen. Just like a person who is eating food, their hunger is being diminished with every bite of food they are taking. Like yesterday, we had a really nice Sunday feast. I was just looking around, people eating, and everyone was so absorbed in just eating. I was like, wow, this must be amazing food. And then Florian, he came up to me and he was like, this sweet rice is awesome. This is the best sweet rice I've had. And I was like, man, you are like, you know, giving me a push. It's my favorite prep, so let me go and try some too. And So it's mentioned actually the person who is eating, you know, after some time, once he is full, he's not even interested in eating anymore. So same way, a person who is engaged in devotional service, they give up all these material activities. They naturally become detached. The detachment is like a side effect of rendering devotional service, viraktir. Virakti is compared to detachment. It means detachment. So the detachment for a person who is practicing devotional service, detachment is like a side effect for them. Just like a person, once he's full, he don't want to eat anymore. You can't eat. If you eat anymore, you get sick. But a person, they feel very nourished and they naturally become detached from all the material activities. Srila Prabhupada, he gives one example. He says that personally we have seen people who have taken to chanting of this Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He says they naturally give up all these other, you know, lower activities they were engaged in. And actually, he mentioned I remember reading in Lilamrita, he says that when his Western disciples, they come with shaved heads, with tilaks, and holding beads, chanting Hare Krishna in their hands, because they naturally have a beautiful body, so they look like they are coming from Vaikuntha. So Srila Prabhupada, he appreciates in that way. So these are the effects. And that's why here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that people become disinterested in visiting temples, churches, mosques, when there is not much happening there. And I was told that this temple was a church before. Is that right? So we can see, because probably there was not much happening, so it became Rukmini Dwarkadish temple. And now there's lots of activities happening. You can see how the devotees were chanting so nicely. So the spirit soul, it wants to be engaged. And if we don't engage in devotional service, then we will engage in service of the material energy. Krishna bahir mukha haya bhogavan chakare nikate maya sthe japatiya dare. So when one forgets one's natural state of spiritual existence, then we take to service of material existence, material energy. Krishna has different energies. It's described in chapter 7. So we engage in service of material energy. Why does it happen? It happens due to forgetfulness. It even mentions here, even Lord Brahma, he forgets. And then at start of creation, Krishna has to remind him, okay, this is your service, so let's do it. And then Brahma takes to creation of the material cosmos. So similarly, a living entity, he forgets. And that's why Krishna comes again and again to remind people, hello, we are friends, so let's work together. So he comes and he gives this proper understanding. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a very beautiful verse. It explains, Maya mugda jeev nahi swata Krishna gyan jivere kripaya kela Krishna veda puran. So forgetting, under the illusion, living entity, he forgets one's own self, one's, what does one exist in relationship with, and what should one be doing. And that's why Krishna comes in different incarnations. In this verse, he talks about Vyasadeva, who comes to compile all these spiritual texts, and his topmost writing is apparently Srimad Bhagavatam, which we are reading now. And he comes to revive this understanding by providing all this realized knowledge. So we can take example of Arjuna. Right in chapter 2, Krishna tells him that how have these impurities come upon you? Because he was identifying with his kinsmen, and he's saying, you are an Aryan. You are Arya. So Arya means a person who has knowledge of self-realization, who live in that kind of civilized society. And he engage in those kind of activities. He doesn't engage materially. So apparently Arjuna, in his decision not to perform his duty, he's a warrior, so he has to fight. And if a warrior goes to a battlefield and he says, I don't want to fight, he doesn't go according to his position, doesn't suit his position. So Krishna was reminding Arjuna, look, this is your position. You are a king, you are a warrior, and we are here in the battlefield, and everything is ready to start. And here now you are saying, I can do this. So what do you think the others will think? And so Krishna, we understand Arjuna is a self-realized soul. Later in chapter 10, he glorifies Krishna and he gives reasons why he's doing this. He quotes like Narada, Sita, Vyasa, Devala, all these great sages. And he says that this is the reason he's accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not because they are friends or they have a familial relationship, but because all these authorities, great sages, they have accepted him as the Supreme Person. So that's why he's accepting him in that way also. So Krishna actually in text 3 in chapter 2, he chastises him. He calls him impotent. He's saying, like having this kind of consciousness, it's like a human being is like impotent, because you are not understanding who you are, and you are acting in a very unnatural position, an unnatural state of consciousness. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he gives here example of a child. A child, he has natural affection for the mother, and whenever they need some attention or they need something, they cry out to the mother, and mother naturally runs to the child, takes care to whatever is needed. He's hungry, she feeds him, various things. So same way, Krishna is always there. He's the most closest to us. He's there right in our heart, and we don't need to go far. That's what he's suggested here. Just look in the right direction. You can't look in a wrong direction and expect the right result. So, Krishna reminds us in so many ways. And he also reminds us through devotees. So like we can see Srila Prabhupada coming here, so many people taken to devotional service, and as a result, we see we all are here. So same way, the next level is like offering devotional service. We can also, because we have natural affection, that affection can be increased by engaging in these devotional activities. And by doing that, we can become satisfied. There is a verse I remember in chapter 10. Machitta madgat prana bodhyanta parasparam kathantas chamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. So that's how one who engages in devotional service, just by talking about Krishna, remembering Krishna, talking about Krishna amongst themselves, they become very happy. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions, in the beginning stages, one relishes pleasure by rendering service. And when one becomes advanced, they actually experience love of God. And that's what the conditioned soul is hankering for, which is that's our natural inheritance. But we have forgotten that, and we are wherever we are. And so I would like to just conclude with this couple of points. So we can become satisfied, nourished, and detached from material activities by engaging in devotional activities. And we have to study all these texts to cultivate knowledge about these things. Because yaj gyatva punar moham, it's in chapter 4, text 35, Krishna is saying that one who gets this knowledge, they become free from illusion. So if you want to become free from this illusion, we have to study these kind of books. And when one becomes free from illusion, then they start to see every living entity as part and parcel of Krishna. So then we can respect everyone and deal with everyone appropriately. And we can experience complete happiness. So there is 1 minute. If anyone would like to share some of your own realizations or some comments or questions based on what we have discussed. Yes, Prabhu. Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Interested in all this stuff?
Can you say that again?
Yeah. Aside from, you know, the little community we have here, when you go outside and distribute books, do you find there's anybody else is interested in any of this?
I didn't get the last part. What was about interested?
Are there any other people interested in this?
Yes, there are so many people interested. Actually, when we go out, like we've been going to different colleges, and there are so many students, they actually come up to the table and they are like, I've been looking for books like this, you know. And I remember I was just talking about someone, about talking with Florian. We went to Santa Monica Pier and I was telling him how George Harrison, when he met Shyama Sundar, he was like, I've been waiting for you. Where have you been? So there are many people who are looking for this. And of course, there are many people who are not interested. So then it gives us opportunity of service. Because of course, if people are not interested, what do? You do activities so people become interested. These are the activities of self-realized souls. Actually, in chapter 5 in first canto, I think it's text 11 or 17, one of those. And there it mentions that an expert devotee, he does things so people who are uninterested, they become interested. And we can remember, we celebrated Nityananda Trayodashi. Lord Nityananda, he goes to most uninterested people. And I heard what he does is, he first puts an inspiration in their heart, so they become interested, and then he gives them the message, and then they engage in service. So, but I know you have a lot of experience, so maybe you want to share some experience. Yes, Prabhu, you have to be quick.
Thank you for the presentation, Prabhu. I was just curious, in your experience in Krishna consciousness, is it difficult to include Krishna in your life?
Can you say the last part again?
Is it difficult to include Krishna in your life?
What do you think?
No, I'm asking you, Prabhu.
Personally, I don't think it is difficult because every day we are doing this. So I don't think it's that difficult. Actually, it's more difficult when we don't include and you forget. Because then, what's the 15:7? Anyone remembers? Mame vamso jiva loka jiva bhuta sanatana manashastani indriyani prakriti stani karshati. When we don't include, that's when we are entrapped in our mind and we are in the struggle of existence.
Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.